y'all would want to turn to follow just one verse I want to look at, it would be the very last part of Revelation, Revelation 22, 16. As you're turning there, I'll just say, typically when folks are either departing, maybe on a cruise ship or an airplane, and the family's there with them, and they're going to be gone for a while, and there's just a few moments left before they embark, and they have something to say, they're probably not going to spend a lot of time with excessive verbiage, shall we say. They're going to get to the point, say what they have to say, and they're gone. I've understood, maybe not been around it much, but maybe when somebody's dying, kind of the same thing, that their words are going to be to the point and get right to it. Well, here we have some of the very last words of Jesus being told to us in the scriptures. I'm going to take that idea and run with it, that it's going to be to the point. We're not going to, not that I think any other parts of Jesus talking was just a filler, shall we say. But maybe this is even more to the point than other points that he was making. So let us read this part here and see what's going on. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Let's just use the verse as our notes, maybe. I, Jesus. Is there any question who's talking here? That's pretty simple. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. There's some debate, maybe, what's happening here, whether Jesus literally sent maybe Gabriel or Michael, the angel, to testify to John that was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was recording the things that was being revealed to him into this book. Some people say, well, it was Jesus himself. It doesn't matter. It's still the words of Jesus. It's still the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving it to an angel, and John, the angel's giving it to you, and then John, you're writing them in a book, and these books, these copies are going to go to the seven churches that are mentioned over in first, second, and third chapters of Revelation. These things are going to those folks. And so in my little brain and my way of thinking, so Jesus has given it to an angel's given it to John, John's writing it down and giving it to the churches. Well, if a letter come to this church, who you reckon's going to read it to you as a church? Or maybe Brother Randall's at, or over at Dallas, whatever. It's going to be the pastor. Brother Marty's going to do it. So we've got Jesus giving it to an angel, giving it to John, going to the churches. At the churches, it's going to be the pastor reading it to the individuals. I wanted to get to the individuals. We're no different. This is a church of God here. Several different churches represented here. And each pastor is to represent and to give what these stairs that are, or rungs on a ladder, or however you want to look at it, back to Jesus Christ. And they're the important words because they're the last words of Jesus. And I want you to know it's personal. It come down to the individuals in those churches over there. And I think it comes to you all personally, what we're about to say, or what Jesus is about to say, and hopefully we can expand upon it. And here I am in a blessed position that I'm able, in this progression of Jesus to the angel, to John, to the churches, that I can take it and I can present it to y'all. But it's for you, each one of you. Take this as, it's not to the church as a large, it's to you. Think of that as we go through it. So Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I had no clue when I started this. I was looking at the bright and the morning star is really what I wanted. I've been doing a study and going through it at Dallas Church on the I Ams, of Jesus talking. And here you see it where he says, I am. I am is a very interesting aspect, and I don't want to spend a lot of time there. I think you all know it. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush and he's supposed to go back into Egypt and start the process with Pharaoh and getting the folks out of Egypt to go into the land of Canaan. And Moses says to the voice out of the burning bush, whom do I say has sent me? And he says, I am has sent you. I am that I am. Three letters. Huge meaning. I am. He said in a conversation, Jesus said with the Pharisees over in the book of John, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham lived 2,000 years roughly before Jesus Christ. And Jesus telling the Pharisees, I was there. Pharisees were like, you are absolutely nuts. You know, they thought this guy had fallen down, hit his head on a large rock, because Abraham was 2,000 years ago, and said, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say you were before Abraham? You know, they just couldn't get it. Well, it just is telling us that Jesus is the I am. I thought for years the I am speaking out of the bush was God the Father. I've kind of switched my thinking to say it's probably Jesus Christ speaking as to God the Father. And through my studies and all of this, I begin to think that all we know of God the Father has come through Jesus Christ. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I think when we see the Father, it's strictly through Jesus Christ is how it is. So, I am, this is God speaking. He was I am yesterday, 2,000 years ago, tomorrow, and 2,000 years from now, he's still I am. Can any of you say that, I am? I can't say it. I mean, Marty and I was talking just before we came in that Elaine and I moved with our family to here in Northwest Georgia, over near Cartersville, 31 years ago. Not the same person I was then. First off, I didn't have gray hair. And I weigh a bit more now. You know, I found the secret to not getting wrinkles. Do y'all want to know the secret to, as you get older? Gain 2 pounds a year. See, and it just keeps pushing it out. No wrinkles. Forgive my foolishness. I'm not the same. I can't say I am. I can't do it. Jesus can. He is the same. All right. I am, and he says, I'm the root and the offspring of David. Well, how is that? I mean, you get a genealogy, a family tree, and you've got the roots, the ones that you're starting with, and you get the, you know, the main ones, and then you branch out to all of them. He's saying, I'm the root and one of the branches. I'm both. Yeah. How can that be? Well, you know, somebody talked about, Brother Marty was talking about the little boy that was learning about some different things in the flood, and how Noah and the water rose up, and Moses had, I mean, Jonah had, Noah had built the ark in 100 years, and all the animals came, and they got in the ark and floated up. And the daddy asked the little boy, do you believe all that in church today? And he says, that is ridiculous. And he says, you mean you tell me you don't think God could do all that? And he goes, oh, well, if you put God in the mix, absolutely. God can do anything he wants. So that's kind of what's happening here. He's the root. He can do this because he's God. And I looked at that aspect of the root. How is God, Jesus, the root? I think it's teaching us in this lesson. Now remember, this is the short little quip he's given us before he leaves. And I think another picture maybe we should put into this as we go. Some people say Revelation was written before the year 70 AD and the tribulation and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman army. Some people say it was after. If it was before, it was to help those people through some really hard times coming. If it was after, it was for some folks that was going to have some really hard times coming. Because as Christianity started growing by leaps and bounds, the Roman Empire, there were Caesars that hated the Christians. And you know and you've heard of how they had Christians in the Colosseum and using them as sport unto where they spilled their blood on the floor and the dirt of the Colosseum. It was sport to kill Christians is what it was. Hard times were coming. Well, I think Jesus is trying to tell, remember, it's personal. We're all going to have hard times. In this world, you shall have tribulation. All of us are going to have storms. We're going to have storms to where we think our boat is going to sink, that you're out and the winds are boisterous and it's going down. We're going to have that. And Jesus, in a little quip here, just a few words, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And I think the aspect of him being the root of David takes me to think Jesus is the root of basically everything that we think of. He was the root of creation. He started and was there at creation with all three. And Scripture says, without him nothing was made, but that he was there and made it. He was there on the sixth day when created man. He helped create the sun, the moon, and the stars. He was there when the plants and all the animals were made. He is the root. He was the root that chose Noah when it ended that old world and started the new world, and chose Noah. He was the root that chose the root of Abraham to start another whole race of men that we know as the nation of Israel or the Jews of today. Jesus is the root. And in that line keeps going to where it gets to David. Why did he not say, I am the root of Abraham? He could have just as well said that. I am the root of Moses. He chose David. I think a lot of it has to do because David is king. And it gives us the picture also that Jesus Christ is king. David fought many battles. And the battles he fought were of all the enemies around about Israel, to where Israel was at peace when Solomon took over. Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, fought all of the battles that you and I will face. And now he's at peace, and we can be at peace. Even though there still may be some stormy waves for us, ultimately, nothing's going to get you. Nothing's going to take you down. The suffering may endure for a season. The season may be your whole life. It's possible. But what's 70 or 80 years in the spectrum of eternity? Some people say, well, that's just a blip on the screen. It's smaller than that. It's not even a blip. It's so small. In our minds, it seems like suffering's a long time. But here's God, the root. And he not only is so, he's the root of eternal salvation. He's the one that was over there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the eternal covenant. That David said, though my house be not so with God, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, although he maketh it not to grow. There was a covenant that was made, and it was shown unto David specifically because he talks about it. We learn about it through that. And so here's the root. Here is God. I think in this first aspect, as far as being the root and the offspring in this genealogy idea, the root is that Jesus is God. He's got it in control, all right? If he created it all, and he's the one that wove this line through humanity after picking a vast number to be his children out of it, and agreed before the foundation of the world that he would bleed and die and suffer for their sins, not his sins. He had no sin. He's got it under control. Even to where he chose, had Samuel the prophet go to the house of Jesse, and all the sons were brought in. And Samuel's like, none of these boys are it. He said, well, we have one more, a young boy out doing the sheep. Like he was just really wasn't worthy of being a king. But when he walked in the room, God told Samuel, this is the man, this is him. God's in control. He's the root. Well, it says then that he's also the offspring. I'm going to take this more as the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was literally the offspring of King David. God made a covenant with King David. They call it the Davidic covenant. But it was to say that in Israel, every king from David on would be of the lineage of David. And so it is. To where even today, there's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sitting on the right hand of God this very moment, ruling and reigning, this very moment is of the lineage of David. He's the offspring of David. He was the one in whose humanity was willing and had to come as a man. I don't know if I was here, whatever. I spoke of when several times over the last couple of months, when Job said in Job 9, he said, is there not a daysman betwixt me and God? Job knew he was a rotten sinner. He said, God would cast me into the pit, cast me into the ditch. Even if I clean myself up with snow water, I'm so nasty, he's still just going to cast me into the ditch. And God is so pure, there's a disparity. And Job's saying, is there not a daysman? Is there not somebody in between that can plead my cause? Job finally learned there was a daysman. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come to be a daysman, to be an in-between person. That person has to know what God is and has to know what man is. Jesus understood the divinity side. He was that. That's who he was. He had to become a man so that he could understand us. Remember back down to the individuals. He was the man, and all of our sins, Brother Marty, every one you'll ever commit that you know of, and probably a lot more than you know of that you commit in each one of you, is all put on Jesus Christ. And before the foundation of the world, he agreed to imputation. What's imputation? It's all of your sins put on Jesus Christ. All of the sins of all of the children of God put on Jesus Christ. At the same time, his holiness, his righteousness, his clean garments placed on you. Except that your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no way inherit the kingdom of heaven. Maybe that means heaven. I think it means here and now, that we can enjoy experiences with Jesus Christ here and now, whether in the church, or maybe it's driving in your car and you're sitting at a stoplight and you just feel the Lord come in your car with you and you just rejoice. That's part of the kingdom of heaven in my thinking. And we have that because of the man, Christ Jesus, the offspring of King David. Well, moving on, more could be said. But here's he saying, I am the root and the offspring. I am God, the eternal divinity being. And I'm also the man, Christ Jesus. And I understand, while he was hanging on the cross, I think he thought of every person. But God was exercising his wrath on every sin. I think he understood every one of you and every sin that he was paying for hanging on the cross. He knows you intimately, every aspect. Now he says, I am the bright and morning star. Do you all know what the morning star is? Does anybody in here know which star in the heavens is the morning star? There is one out there. It's got a name. Pardon? No, but no, that's the day star. Venus. Exactly right. Venus. There's the three brightest objects in the heavens is the sun, which is a star, but to us it's the sun because it's so bright it blinds out. You know, the stars are all shining out there now. It's just the sun's so bright we can't see them. Then the moon is second. Venus is the third brightest object in the sky. And for 82-83 days, it comes up in the morning just a couple of hours before the sun comes up. It's called the morning star. And it's also called the bright star. Why is it bright? Well, because it has more light than the other stars. It's not dim. It's not some other little flicker of something out there we might want to follow. No, it's bright. You know what it when it comes up. And it's hard in Georgia. I've lived in South Georgia. I've lived in North Georgia. I've traveled all over Georgia. You can't hardly see Venus in the morning unless there's a big field to your east. You just don't get to see the star. I used to drive my daddy's 18-wheeler loaded with honeybees, either going to South Texas or going back to central Nebraska, and sometimes it'd be like a 22-hour drive from one end to the other. And I remember driving, and here you are, and you're going, you know you're going to drive all night long. And the sun sets, and it just gets dark, and it's just hour after hour of darkness. And it gets kind of discouraging. And is the daylight ever going to come? And then in Texas, it's just so flat, and in West Texas, and treeless, and boop, up comes the Venus, up comes the morning star. And it's encouraging. Here it comes, and it's bright. And you know what it is. You know that when it comes up and its brightness, there's no question. You know it's not one of the other planets or some other star. It's the bright star. And the bright star, brightness brings different ideas. Its brightness can be maybe thought, and scriptures talk about that it's the glory of God and his brightness. And in his throne room is bright, and heaven is bright just because of his glory. You know, we talk about there will be no need for the sun in heaven because the S-O-N, Son of Righteousness, is there. It's just his glory of brightness. It's not Satan trying to create brightness to draw you away. This is bright, just no question about it. It's truth. We talk about things that are false or lies as darkness. And this star coming up, you just know it's a true star. It's telling you morning is coming. The sun's coming. And it talks about that there's life. Because when the sun comes and the sun gives life. And the main thing it gives us is hope. I mean, when I was driving that truck, it was just like, great, it won't be long. Now, I had a watch on my wrist, and I probably looked at it. But somehow, seeing that heavenly body come up in the east gave me hope. It also gives direction. Now, when I was driving up and down the road, I was on either going north on Highway 83 to Nebraska, or I was going south on Highway 83 to South Texas. So I knew that which east, north, south, east, and west was. But what if I was out in the ocean or out in a desert traveling, and I don't have a compass, you just got confused. And here you are wandering along. Maybe in our lives, it's just the pressure and the darkness and the struggles that you're facing in your life. And you're just like, which way is the right way to go? I am so confused. I don't know if I should do this, or do that. And then you see Jesus, the bright star. And you know that's east. And you know that's the way we got to go. Or if that's east, then that way's south, and that way's north. You know your directions. So it gives us direction. It gives us hope. We see that it's beauty, it's light, it's majesty of coming up of who Jesus Christ is. And then, last of all, and I think the primary part of this verse is the morning star, which we've been talking about already. But it gives us a direction, as we've talked about, but the hope part of it, I think that's the main part. It tells us that sure enough, the day is about to break and the day star, which is also Jesus Christ. It's so interesting how it is. Jesus is the bright and morning star, but he's also the day star. John the Baptist's daddy, you remember, said to the angel, Elizabeth's going to have a son? You know, he questioned it, and he was made dumb. He couldn't speak for the 9 months while John the Baptist was with Mary. But when he was born and he was at home, and they said to Elizabeth, really, John? And he asked for a tablet, wrote his name as John. Immediately his vocal cords were loosed, and he spoke, and he prophesied, and he talked about how John the Baptist was going to make the way clear for that the day star would rise in our hearts. Talking about the sun. Jesus Christ is the bright star. We are living in the time of darkness. And Jesus Christ came back yonder as a point of light and was here 33 some years. A point of light in darkness. But guess what? Now he's the morning star. That was the morning star. It guarantees the day star's coming. And that day star, when Jesus comes back with all of the ones that have passed, all of their souls, and all of the bodies are raised out of the, your loved ones raised up, and their bodies change from corruptible to incorruptible, that's daylight. That's the day. Well, let's make this more personal than that. What about y'all? You know, living along, we live in a dark world. I mean, politics is just about turned it on its ear. I don't care which side of the fence you're on. It's just ridiculous to me. I never thought I'd see such stuff go on in our country. But we go back and read of the politics of Jesus Christ when the leaders of the Jewish religion themselves paid off the men to say, I fell asleep, and that and the folks came and stole Jesus' body out of the tomb. Do you know what is supposed to happen to a guard when he falls to sleep? It's execution. You don't fall asleep on guard duty, all right? He paid those guys. But if those guys said that, their captains would have known then. So the Jewish leaders had to pay off the captains, probably had to pay off the captains, folks, right on up to Pontius Pilate. There was money exchanged to make this lie come to pass. Politics are a dirty thing. The leaders of the Jewish synagogues found Paul in certain cities preaching and teaching, and they hated it, and they hired what's called lewd fellows in other cities to try to beat and kill Paul himself and to stop this Christian thing going. That was happening. That is stinkier politics in my book than anything we see going on today. It's nothing new. Politics is a mess. What about when God reveals your sin to you, your sin to you, and you're like, why did I do that? Why did I say what I said? I can't take it back. I can't stop what I did. And that guilt washes over you. Darkness. We live in a dark world. Your sin is darkness. Maybe you're suffering from whatever, something that you had no control over, cancer, just body pains. Maybe it's depression that you just don't have control over, and it's just suffering. It's darkness in your life. And Jesus, remember what he's telling the folks here, hard times are coming, but I am the root. I am the offspring. I am the brightness. I'm the morning star. Can anybody stop? Which one of you is going to stop the Venus from coming up in the morning? Well, you can't do that. Then let's just stop the sun coming on up. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. It's coming up in the morning. So, and then what about the aspect of death? You see Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the King of the root of, I mean, the offspring of David. He conquered all of our foes. All of our enemies are gone. Yeah, we have some little skirmishes with the devil that we have trouble with, but in overall picture, it's over. And when we get in the darkness of our nights, we can cling to these things and help us with that light. And the more you learn about Jesus Christ in the book, the more you'll understand his brightness. And maybe he'll be brighter in your mind. And maybe you can look on beyond the brightness of the star and see the sun coming up. When I used to hunt, I liked hunting in the morning better than the evening. And I was either swatting mosquitoes, though, or freezing to death, what it seemed like. And I was so tickled when the first rays of sunlight hit me, because it seemed like it got warmer all of a sudden, and maybe the mosquitoes weren't as bad. It was just such a joy to see. Well, when in your darkness of the storm that's in your life, and you're just feeling overwhelmed, your boat's about to sink and go down, and then you see Jesus Christ. It gives you peace. He is the root. He's taking care. He is in control of all. Has anything ever surprised God? People used to stand around the corner at our church, mostly Brother Marty's daughter, Hannah. And she'd be around the corner when she's younger, and you'd come walk around. She'd jump out and go, "Woo!" And you'd go, "Ah!" You know, and that she just loved, you know, catching you off guard and scaring you. Has anybody ever hid around the corner from God and scared him? Never happened and never will. God is in control. He knows what's going on. And even if you're in the worst storm of your life, he's in control. He's there. Well, I've already gone over time. Let me read a quote that I found this week doing this study. This fellow says, think about what Venus actually does. Remember, Venus is the bright and the morning star. Think about what Venus actually does. It doesn't remove the darkness immediately. It doesn't replace the sun. It simply appears and says, morning is certain. Morning is close. That is what Jesus is in your life today. Jesus is certain and morning is certain. He goes on to say, when guilt reminds you of your past, those things that the sin you did, Jesus says, forgiveness is certain. When suffering seems endless, you're like, will this pain, will this disease, or will this situation in my life, or your children's lives, or your parents, whatever, will this situation ever end? When suffering seems endless, Jesus says, glory is certain. When death seems final, he says, resurrection is certain. Do you see the brightness in all of these situations? When the world seems dark to you, he says, the kingdom is certain. I think that's that kingdom that we can enjoy. Those times in church when it's just like God, you can just reach out and touch him. He's right there. You're just rejoicing. Remember, he's the root, the God of the universe. He's the offspring of David, the King of Kings, paid for your sins as a man. He's brightness, direction in the morning star, and hope for tomorrow. God bless you all.